Genesis 9, verse 13, the Lord says, I do set my bow in the cloud. Now, I was reading this verse and looking at this verse during the past week, and it just hit me right between the eyes, that little word, my, M-Y. I do set my bow in the cloud. God is saying, it's my rainbow. It belongs to me. And it does. He owns the copyright for the rainbow. The copyright for the rainbow belongs to Almighty God, not to the LGBT movement. You've probably heard of the Ark Encounter in America. Or if you haven't heard of the Ark Encounter, you've heard of Ken Ham. Ken Ham is the founder of Answers in Genesis. And it's an organization that does a tremendous work, pointing people back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and laying the foundation for the gospel message. Because, friends, at the end of the day, why should you believe John 3:16 if you don't believe Genesis 3:16? No point telling someone that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son if you don't first tell them that that same God created the first people and they rebelled against him, and that's why there is a need for a Savior. So that's really what Ken Ham is involved in, and many others involved with that great organization, Answers in Genesis. Maybe some of you have even been to their meetings. They were in the province, I think, just a few months ago at different venues having creation seminars. But during the last week, Ken Ham has called for Christians to take back the rainbow. If you're on Facebook, you can go onto his page, and he has put out this call for Christians to take back the rainbow. And he has led by example because he has lit up the Ark Encounter in the colors of the rainbow. If you're ever in America, or if you're ever anywhere near the state of Kentucky in America, please make an effort to go along to the Ark Encounter. And every night now, that full-size replica of Noah's Ark is illuminated with the colors of the rainbow. Now, don't worry, Ken Ham is not promoting the gay lifestyle. He hasn't changed his tune. But he's pointing people back to God, to the owner of the rainbow, and he is taking back the rainbow. And in a sense, he is saying, hands off the rainbow. And that must be our message tonight. Hands off the rainbow, because it belongs to God. Friends, do you know why I love the rainbow? Because it reminds me of Jesus. Whenever I see a rainbow, yes, I know the little children's chorus says, whenever you see a rainbow, remember God is love. But whenever you see a rainbow, think of the Lord Jesus. And I want to tell you tonight some things that come to my mind whenever I see a rainbow, things that remind me of Christ. Whenever I see a rainbow, I am reminded of the beauty of Christ, the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Let's face it, is there anything more beautiful in nature than a rainbow? There are very few things in God's creation, very few parts of nature that are more beautiful than the rainbow, more attractive than the rainbow. Great beauty. Well, you know, whenever I think of the Lord Jesus, I see great beauty. Not in his physical appearance, because the Bible doesn't really mention his physical appearance. It doesn't major on what he looked like. The Bible majors on the beauty of his words, the beauty of his works, the beauty of his wounds. Let me speak to you for a moment about the beauty of his words. You see, in John chapter 7, verse 46, there were people who were sent to arrest the Lord Jesus, really soldiers, officers, were sent to arrest Jesus, but whenever they heard him, they just couldn't arrest him. His words just had power, a power that no one else had. And they came back to their superiors and they said, "Never man spake like this man." Have you heard him? I mean, have you not heard the way this man speaks? Nobody speaks like him. He's unique. He's the greatest preacher we have ever heard. And the Lord Jesus is the greatest preacher that ever preached on this earth, and no one will ever be a better preacher than him. In fact, no one, including this preacher tonight, will ever come anywhere near the Lord Jesus as far as the beauty of his words are concerned. The beauty of his works. See, in Matthew chapter 13, verse 54, it tells us, "And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works?" These mighty works. The people were amazed at his works. There is beauty in the works of the Lord Jesus. You think about it for a moment. What did Jesus do when he was on this earth? He only had a short time, 3.5 years. But oh, the beauty of his works. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. He made lepers clean and pure from their leprosy. He made deaf people hear. He made dumb people speak. He even made dead people come back to life. I'd say that's beautiful. And friends, as we think about the beauty of the rainbow, we see the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Is it any wonder that Solomon cried out in Song of Solomon chapter 5 verse 16, "He is altogether lovely. He is altogether lovely." The beauty of his words, the beauty of his works, the beauty of his wounds. That's what's most attractive about the Lord Jesus. You see, it's in his wounds that we see a great beauty, because we know that we are sinners and we feel that we are sinners from head to foot. And we rejoice because he took our place, because he was wounded for our transgressions. The hymn writer put it like this: "Wounded for me, wounded for me. There on the cross he was wounded for me. Gone my transgressions, and now I am free. All because Jesus was wounded for me." Can you say, "Now I am free"? I'm sure that most of us can, but I wonder, is there anyone in this service tonight who cannot honestly say, "Gone my transgressions and now I am free"? But thank God, before this service finishes tonight, you can. You just cry out to the Lord Jesus from your pew. Pray to him from your heart. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to walk to the front and get on your knees at the front. You don't have to do anything like that. You just talk to him where you are and he will hear you. Thank God for the beauty of his wounds. Oh, when we think about the rainbow, it reminds us of the beauty of Christ. But it also reminds us of the blood of Christ. We said that at the very beginning of the service in the hymn that we started with, that we were going to mention tonight about how the rainbow reminds us of the beauty of Jesus and also the blood of Jesus. It does remind us of his precious blood. Did you know that rainbows come in pairs? I know that when we see a rainbow, we think there's only one rainbow. But there's always another rainbow, a secondary rainbow. You've got the primary rainbow and the secondary rainbow. We cannot really see the secondary rainbow. It's kind of hidden behind the primary one. But you know, there's a wonderful thought that comes to us. Did you know that that primary rainbow that we can see, red is at the top? The red's at the top. You know the colors of the rainbow? Remember last week we said Richard of York gave battle in vain. Maybe that's how you learned the rainbow at school. Red and all the other colors, the 7 colors of the rainbow. Red is at the top of the primary rainbow. You know, friends, when I think of red, I think about the blood of Jesus, and I think of how God the Father, how he looks down upon us who are saved, and he sees the red, as it were, looking from heaven. He sees the blood of his Son, as it were, and because God sees the blood, then that's how we're forgiven. That's really all that matters. You see, it's just like the Passover. You remember at the time of the Passover that the Lord said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He didn't say to the Israelites, when you see the blood, I'll pass over you. No, he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And you know, that's what assures us tonight that we are redeemed, those of us who are trusting in Christ. That's the very foundation of our salvation. You see, so often we don't see the blood, as it were. We don't really have that assurance of salvation in our souls. But what matters is that God sees the blood and he knows the sacrifice that Jesus has made. And so as he looks down from heaven upon the rainbow, the first color that he sees is red. But you know that secondary rainbow, it's the other way around. The red is at the bottom. So that teaches us tonight that as we look up, the first color we see is the red of the rainbow. And friends, that reminds us that the blood was shed for you and for me. And as we think tonight about the sacrifice that Christ made for us, that's how we have peace. Do you lack assurance tonight that you're saved? Do you have no peace? Are you worried about whether you're a Christian or not? You have asked Jesus to forgive your sins, but still you don't have that peace that you would love to have. Well, I want to tell you tonight about the antidote for your lack of assurance. Think much about the blood. Focus on the blood of the Lord Jesus. Not even just the cross of Jesus, because there are people today who say, well, you shouldn't really focus on the blood. See, the blood just means the death of Jesus and the cross of Jesus. So, you know, don't talk too much about the blood, or don't think too much about the blood. Well, I disagree with that argument. I believe that when the Bible emphasizes the blood of Jesus, it really means his literal blood. And friends, as we rest upon his precious blood, that is how we have peace. As we look up and see, as it were, the bottom color in the secondary rainbow, it's red, speaking to us of the blood that has been shed. Didn't we sing it earlier? It is his word, God's precious word, that stands forever true. When I, the Lord, shall see the blood, I will pass over you. Whenever I think about the rainbow, I think of the beauty of the Lord Jesus. I think of the blood of the Lord Jesus. But then, of course, there's the bow, isn't there? We need to speak about the bow. That's really what a rainbow is. It's a rainbow. But there's no arrow in it. There's no arrow in the bow. A rainbow is really a bow without an arrow. And it's not pointing at you and me, it's not pointing down to the earth, it's pointing up to heaven. And you see, brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus tonight, the arrow has gone up to heaven. And it struck the Lord Jesus, the Son of God. It struck him. Jesus has taken the arrow himself. He has taken the punishment. And we are free. We are redeemed because of that. And so as we think about the rainbow, and the next time we see a rainbow, let's look at it and consider the fact that there's no arrow there. It's a bow without an arrow. And let's remember that someone has suffered in our place. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Would you count yourself a lost sinner? If you would, then thank God. The gospel is for you. Jesus died for lost sinners. nearly 2,000 years ago on Calvary's cross. The Lord Jesus said to his heavenly Father, I will take the arrow of your judgment. I'll take the arrow of your wrath. And those people in new buildings can go free. They deserve to be punished. They deserve to be in hell, but I will take the arrow. Father, let me take the judgment. Let me take the punishment that they deserve so that they don't have to be punished. But as we think about the rainbow, as we see the bow, we are reminded, of course, that it's an entrance, isn't it? It's like an archway, a door. Does not remind you of John chapter 10, verse 9, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Thank God we're still in the day of grace. The door of salvation is still open, and you can still be saved. But please don't wait until the door closes. Whenever you breathe your last breath, that's when the door slams shut. Whenever Jesus comes back again, that is when the door slams shut. Please don't wait until that happens. Don't be like the people who were caught outside the ark and the door shut. God shut the door. Noah didn't shut the door. God shut the door, and God will shut the door again someday, the door of salvation, and it will be too late to become a Christian. Don't wait until that awful day comes. You come to Jesus tonight. Enter in through the arch, as it were, in through the door of salvation. I am not the door of salvation. I am just a sinner saved by grace. I am not a mediator between God and man, although some people have this foolish idea that the clergyman, that the minister, is some kind of a mediator, but that's just not true. Jesus is the door. He is the mediator. He is the go-between. Come to him tonight. But whenever we look at the bow, we think not only of the entrance, the archway, but of course we think of an event. An event, a great event that's still to come. It's the return of Christ. What way is the bow pointing? It's pointing up. Telling us and teaching us that we should look up. Telling us, as Luke chapter 21, verse 28 says, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Are you lifting up your head, child of God? Are you looking up for the return of the Savior? It's the greatest day. It'll be the greatest day of our lives, the greatest day in the history of the world as far as Christians are concerned, whenever Jesus comes back again. And so the bow reminds us, as it points upward, it reminds us that there is someone up there who will return. Aren't you glad, child of God? Aren't you glad tonight, Christian, that the Lord Jesus is coming back? This world is in such a horrid mess. It is just so messed up, you wouldn't believe it. Aren't you glad that there's someone coming back to sort out the mess? And as we said last Sunday night, there will be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. But let me finish tonight, and we need to finish off. When we think of the rainbow, we not only think of the beauty, we not only think of the blood, we not only think of the bow, but of course we think of a barrier. Because whenever you have a rainbow, or wherever you have a rainbow, you've got clouds. You've got the cloud. And because of the clouds, we can only see half the rainbow. Because I'm sure you know that a rainbow is really a circle. We only see the semicircle. We only see half of the rainbow because the other half is obscured by the cloud. There's the barrier. The clouds come between us and the other half of the rainbow. Of course, whenever you get up in the plane and you get up above the clouds, then you see the full rainbow. But down here on earth, as we look at the rainbow, we only see half of it because of the barrier. You know, dear friends, as Christians, very often there can be like a barrier between us and the Lord, and we don't always feel the presence of the Lord Jesus the way we want to. But if tonight you're discouraged and you feel that there are barriers between you and the Lord, don't be cast down. Because he's always with you. No matter whether you feel his presence or not, his presence is there because he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. What though clouds are hovering o'er me, and I seem to walk alone, longing mid my cares and crosses for the joys that now are flown, if I've Jesus, Jesus only, then my sky will have a gem. He's the sun of brightest splendor and the star of Bethlehem.